Would you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm on a series called Understanding the Gifts of the Holy Spirit, part 2. This is part 2 of a series, and I just wanted you to know this is also the last part of this series. And the next time I'm in the pulpit, when I'm back in the pulpit, we're moving on to chapter 15 and chapter 16 of this book, which has tremendous amount of stuff. We'll be covering end times, the end of the world, your resurrected body, a couple of other things that Paul deals with. But we're going to wrap up a talk on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because of our activity today in honoring Pastor Jan, I'll probably shorten it up for you. I want you to know these are the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed, or 9 manifestations. And I have shared with you that they are divided in this way. These 2, this 5, these 2. And they are divided by a Greek word that is very rarely used. Paul rarely uses the word, and it has to do with the word another. And that these are another of the same kind. These are another that are different than these, but another of the same kind of these, and so forth down here. And that you can hear and get explained in past messages I've done, all available in our phone app and online. But what I want to do is I want to wrap up and talk about these 5 in just a moment. So we begin with 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. As you look in your Bible, it says this, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" In the Greek language, it can be very specific in when it's asking a question. And these questions here that are being asked by Paul, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all have gifts of healings? The answer is no. It's a requirement to answer these questions with a no. Do all interpret? No. But then he says this, "but earnestly desire the best gifts." This word best in the Greek isn't the word best like we think of, like, okay, who's got a better burger or who's got better pizza? We're not talking about that, but it's literally the more powerful gift, or the gift that actually affects more people. And it says, "yet I show you a more excellent way." And then Paul wraps up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says there is a best gift. And then he goes into chapter 13 and 14 of how to find that best gift. In chapter 13, he talks about love, and he talks about the motivation of being wanted to be used by God and use the Holy Spirit is love. This fall, during small groups, I'm going to be doing 2 separate small groups. One small group I'm going to do is how to survive financially in the last days, or how to prosper during the end times. The second one is going to be how to be used by the Holy Spirit. If you want to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to do a small group and help you get that direction and follow this. But Paul goes through extensive explanation. The motive behind being used by God should not be self-exaltation. It should not be power. It should not be, look at me. It should not be, I'm very spiritual. It should not be approval. It should be, other people need help. That's what it should be. Should be, other people need help. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says this. I think this is an amazing Bible verse in this chapter of things that are happening here. This part is pretty, like, wow, look at it for a moment. Sometimes we go too fast through Scripture. It says, "and God has appointed these in the church." Look at this. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, after those things, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Paul literally is telling us when God started the church on the day of Pentecost, the very first thing he did was assign apostles. The second thing was prophets. And we can find that in the book of Acts. And there were apostles and prophets before there were pastors. And then the next thing they had to do is start teaching people Scripture. and teaching people the way of the Lord. And then what happens after that? Miracles show up. What happens after miracles show up? Gifts of healings. Then helps, administration, variety of tongues. What we're learning here is, first of all, there should be people who are anointed to teach Scripture, and from anointed teaching of Scriptures, miracles should happen. Out of miracles, there should now be a flow of healings, and things should start happening in people's lives. Today, I want to talk about and kind of get a little heavy on the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. I'd like you to have just a snapshot, an understanding of what these different things are and what God is doing in people's lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So now we're getting to the end. In chapter 12, 13, and 14, Paul goes into great detail about cooperating with the Holy Spirit so that God will use you in the gifts of the Spirit. But most of all, he identifies the most important gift is prophecy. And it is interesting that he says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, if someone thinks, oh, no, I don't believe Paul. Paul's not right. I'm right. Then just you're stupid. We'll leave you alone. And then Paul says, therefore, brethren, therefore, I always highlight the word therefore, because he's coming to a conclusion. He has stated some truth or something truthful, and now concluding with that, and he's saying, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. But he begins with, I'm going to show you the best way to be used by God, and he emphasizes prophecy. Why? Paul is a big component and a big supporter of the more people getting help, the better. And prophecy helps a large group of people. Not the YouTube prophets. There are some good ones and there are some like, okay, what do we do with what you just said? And the issue that I'm referring to, prophecy is just not foretelling a future event. Prophecy should be edifying the church, building the church up, and giving the church possibly guidance and direction on what actions they should be taking. Versus just saying something, and then later it comes to pass and said, see, I was right. There's a difference between it. Get to that in just a moment. But Paul says, brethren, if you're really going to help people, let's earnestly desire miracles. Power of healing. Let's desire the ability to walk into a hospital and clear it out. Paul didn't say any of that. Paul said prophecy. Earnestly desire and forbid. And this is interesting. Forbid. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Paul is a supporter that as you pray in tongues and speak in tongues, you actually build yourself up. He's the one that gave us all that instruction and understanding that you become spiritually stronger and can be used by God more often. And he says, don't forbid to speak in tongues. So if you're forbidding people from speaking in tongues, then what happens is that you are not going to be seeing prophecy touching more and more people. Again, Paul's just trying to get everything in order. He's trying to help people grasp an understanding. We at Church of Grace want to be a church that cooperates with the Holy Spirit. We believe all of these gifts. We believe all of these gifts that God has are for today. Let all things be done decently and in order. There shouldn't be chaos. Chaos is not the Holy Spirit. Decently and in order, simple and excellent, is part of the Holy Spirit. Here are the gifts again. These are the different gifts, and I have talked to you about the word of wisdom and word of knowledge, how they work together, and did a whole talk on it, and you can get that in our phone app. On different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, I've shared about that. When somebody speaks in tongues in a public setting, and then somebody gives an interpretation. But things have to be done decently in order, which means there's got to be a cooperation. For an example, at the end of worship today, and when Suzette and Alyssa came up here, and it sounded to me like, I think someone's giving a message in tongues. But if we have the music too loud, or if we are talking too much, or if the person that's overseeing the service isn't discerning that, we could lose that. But it's all a learning lesson. It's all cooperating. But we at Church of Grace believe God still does miracles. We believe that God still heals. We believe that God still has a person speak in tongues and gives interpretation. We believe in prophecy. And the reason why is God wants to help the church, wants to build the church up. There needs to be a revival in the Holy Spirit move again. What California needs more than anything else is a revival in the spiritual gifts. But you know what accompanies that? Is a heart that other people get help. Do you know what usually makes a heart that other people get help? Is being a person and a group of people who worship Almighty God. We got to quit thinking about all our personal needs and start thinking about how great God is and what God can do. So it is my desire to share with you a couple of stories. I just want to take some time and tell you stories of people who have been healed or miracles have happened right here at Church of Grace. In my stories that I have selected, I asked our ministry team, give me some stories of some things that have happened at the cross or someplace else. And they sent me some in email and text messages. And I looked at them. I just selected some that you would see a variety. I want you to see that God heals in different ways. I also want you to see that if God is using a doctor in your life, it's still the hand of God. If God is using medicine, it is His knowledge that gave man that information. I want you to see that the devil is not at all for relief of pain. The devil hates Tylenol. He doesn't want anybody to have pain relief of any kind. But God is the one that wants to relieve you of pain. God is the one that wants to have you healed. God is the one that wants to give you long life. So I would like to talk about these for a moment. Let me start with discerning of spirits, because it's a real quick one I share with you, because discerning of spirits is you will know something going on. You'll have an insight. You will feel something that you would. So recently, this was just a couple of months ago. I think it was in the month of May. I was in the city of, Suzette and I were in Carlsbad, and I went to go play golf in Carlsbad. And when you go play golf, if you go all by yourself, they'll pair you up with people. And I got paired up with, I was supposed to be in a threesome, and one guy didn't show up. So it was just this other guy and I. And the guy gets in the cart, we get in the same cart, and now we are going to be together for, you know, four and a half hours. And we start to talk. And which is normal, it's just part of life, you know, make relationships, start talking. I find out that the person is a law professor. He's been teaching for over 30 years at a law school. So I was asking him about what kind of law do you teach? What is it that you teach? You know, he majors in on international law, international trade. So I had a bunch of questions about international trade. And then we got into conversation, you know, me being a pastor, got into conversation about God. And I was just discerning that he's got a few questions and I want to answer him. So then he starts telling me his opinion. And his opinion is this. He starts it off with this. Well, God, whoever he, she, or it is. And then he gives me his opinion. And I thought, you give me your opinion? I'm going to give you my opinion. And so I share with him the simple understanding. And I start in the book of Genesis. I start with the creation of Adam and Eve. Because he asked me, where those other people come from? That if Cain killed Abel, and where those other people, and he starts answering me. So I answered it. And you're thinking, well, what was the answer? I don't have time today. But I just share with him different things. And then, so I share with him the gospel message, how God is not putting anyone into hell. God is not sending one person. God will never send one person to hell. Adam and Eve did. So I go to Adam and Eve, and I talk about what they did and how every future person is born with the destiny of hell. And what God is doing is getting people out of hell, not putting them in hell. He's not sending anyone to hell. He's rescuing you through the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross. And we start doing it. So then after three holes of talking the gospel, and I could sense that he was getting quieter and quieter. And so I just discerned. I really believed it was the discerning of spirits that said, back off, you just watered. And so many times what we do is we want, you know, sometimes you plant a seed, sometimes you water a seed, sometimes you have the harvest. We want to do all the steps in one session with the person. But I was just in this guy's life to tell him this little bit, just to share, just to water. And I felt like I was done with watering, you know, in him. So that's a little bit of discerning the spirits, that you are going to know where the person is. You're going to know if the person is good or bad. You're going to know if someone is evil or good. You're going to have inside a feeling of what is the intent, what is the environment, what's going on. Is something demonic? Is something angelic? You're just going to know, and you got to go with the know. You got to make that discernment and that understanding and flow with God will use you in things like that. So let's talk about this one, faith. Just to give you an example of faith that's really important, I believe when we have this understanding that these five are of the same spirit, that they work interactively. There's a lot of times they just blend, and sometimes you can't even tell which is which. It's just following the Holy Spirit. For an example, I take prophecy and the gift of faith. The gift of faith is all of a sudden you got a charge. It's like you had five cups of coffee in 30 seconds. You IV'd caffeine. That's what the gift of faith is. All of a sudden there's just boom. You know that you know that you know. And I'm going to tell you right now, the gift of faith doesn't last that long. Like caffeine, it has a crash. It does. Has a crash. I got hit. I was in the middle of preaching in this room, and I got hit with that caffeinated faith. It charged me up that I stood over here. I pointed to Natalie, who was the wife of our worship leader at the time, Paul, who wanted to get pregnant and had a tumor, and it was physically impossible for her to get pregnant. And I said, you will have a baby in 1 year. And I just, boom, and I knew that I knew that I knew. At lunch, crash came. Oh, my God, what did I say? I said that publicly? Oh, no. What if she doesn't get pregnant? What will that be like? Oh. And then you have to forget you. You have to think of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the person. But at that moment, when it happened, it was IV faith. Boom. Yeah. And I'm preaching. And afterwards, it just kind of goes away. And you end up with a crash. There's other things will happen too, where people just all of a sudden something's taking place and you just know that you're supernaturally protected and faith hits you and you are just going to walk through the most tremendous situation in your life. And then afterwards you're like, when you preach prophetically, it happens every Sunday. It happens to Pastor Josh and I every Sunday. We preach real confidently. We said what we're supposed to say. Then we're at lunch with some friends, and you start thinking, did you really say that? Why did you say that? Oh, wow, you know, kind of thing. Okay, I'm sure you've had some experiences like that as well. Is that right? Okay, now, here's what I would like to do. Let's give you one on here. Miracles. Okay. Also, the faith and prophecy. I don't know if you saw on YouTube, there's one of the prophets that I follow on YouTube, and he prophesied months ago about President Trump being hit with a bullet in his ear. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. But when he said it, you could tell the gift of faith hit him, boom. And he described the bullet going right by his ear. He says in the prophecy, it will blow out his eardrum, which it didn't, but that's how he saw the prophetic vision. And he was dead on. Dead on. And the gift of faith and the gift of prophecy working together in that. A working of miracles? Okay, the entire world. I'm sorry. The entire world has seen a sign and a wonder when President Trump turned his head and got grazed by that bullet and not hit in the head. Whether you think so or not, God just gave you a sign and wonder and said, pay attention, I'm here. It's a miracle, and it's a sign and a wonder. For anyone to say it's anything else is just trying to deny the presence of God. So, well, why would God save that guy? Why would he save you? Didn't he save everybody with Jesus on the cross? If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. But I'm just letting you know, that is a miracle, absolute miracle. And you're going to see more of those visibly because we're headed into the last days. Okay, the crash that just happened on Friday, the cyber crash and the stuff that crashed banks, it crashed the London or the English stock market. England stock market, it crashed airplanes, boom, 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 you know, and I forgot the name of the company, Cyber something. CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
Anyway, what that is going to happen again and again and again. You just had a tiny taste of, oh, maybe I can't even get the money out of my bank because it crashed. We're headed into the last days. There's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be miracles. The crash is not a miracle. The crash is part of the conflicting spiritual warfare we are in. And you need to have faith in God working and know that you can survive. You can survive situations by following God. You are primed for a miracle. Okay, let me read to you some gifts of healings. I've got a couple of stories I want to share with you, so bear with me. And as I share these stories with you, I want you to notice the different ways that God heals people. There are different ways. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's through a process. Sometimes it's through prayer at the cross. Sometimes it's through prayer in a Bible study. It can be just different. So here's the first one. It says, "Hi, Pastor Tom. June 29th, a Saturday, I had tweaked my knee walking at the beach. I've removed everybody's names because I didn't contact anybody and ask for permission. Walking at the beach. Was in pain daily from that moment until July 10th when I received prayer. That night at a meeting sitting next to Alyssa, it was casually mentioned. Prior to leaving, she said, let's pray. The pain left immediately. I was healed. No more pain. Praise Jesus." Isn't that awesome? Awesome? I mean, God... You may not know this, but Pastor Josh, every other Wednesday, goes to jail and holds a church service and preaches the gospel. This last Wednesday, he was telling us the story of how the presence of God literally filled the room with those men in that room. And he said that he started to weep. Some of them started to weep. Just the presence of God filled. Now think about this. How good God is. With all that's going on in the world, people trying to kill others, wars taking place, God shows up in a room with a small group of men who have done nothing but commit crimes to show how much he loves them. Just to say, I love you. I'm there for you. Here's another one. A prayer request, this is a prayer request online for someone's sister who was diagnosed with sepsis and DKA, both life-threatening. The team prayed, and our ministry team got a hold of the prayer that came online. They prayed, and the hospital expected this person to stay in the hospital for 6 weeks, went home in 5 days. In 5 days. Yeah. Here's one that says, this is a prayer request that came in. And that this individual is going through a whole bunch of stuff, a lot of different things. Please pray for healing for my back and legs. I fell at physical therapy over 8 weeks ago. I was bedridden for 5 weeks. 5 weeks! I'm out of bed now, still can't walk without extreme pain and a walker or a cane. My MRI shows a herniated disc and a tear in a pinched sciatic nerve and inflammation with extreme sciatica. I am going to physical therapy and a chiropractor, plus taking meds that should help, but unfortunately, nothing is working. I know that God has the power to either heal me or direct my path those who can help me. In February, I had a left knee replacement and have lost progress with that as well. In other words, I'm a mess, but I know that God has answers. Listen to this. Please keep me in your prayers. God bless you all, and God bless our Church of Grace, Yorba Linda. This is a member of our church who lives in Arizona. Online, one of our online members. I saw this email come in, the prayer request come in, and I felt with a discerning of spirits that I wanted to say something to this person because my wife, Suzette, had a crushed, was a crushed disc, herniated disc, and she, at one time, was in extreme pain that she couldn't walk. And God opened the door through a couple of people and led us to spinal decompression. She went through a series of spinal decompression and hasn't had pain since and or dealt with that issue, had sciatica with at the same time. Sound like the exact same story. So I just told her my wife's testimony. That's what I did. And I said, here's how she got treated. But we're praying for you. And that was 12 years ago, 15 years ago, 12 roughly. Well, when it was really, really bad, she goes, I need help, is when she was at Costco and couldn't walk and had to get in one of the electric things to drive through the store. She goes, I need help. But here she is, healed, that I believe by the hand of God, God using a doctor, a chiropractor at the time. I tell her the story. She emails me back, and we go back and forth a couple of times, and what happens is the person who's started going to spinal decompression. So I got this email. I just happened to email him and said, hey, give me an update. I got this the other day. Hi, Pastor Tom. Thank you for checking on me. I'm in Minnesota after having more surgery on my face to try to fix the damage that was done by my only one COVID vaccination. So, wow, man, going through a lot. But we are here to pray. We are still working on my back at the chiropractor with decompression, stem, muscle work, and adjustments. Your recommendation for the treatment got me here on a 3-hour plane ride and a 90-minute shuttle ride, which I never would have imagined accomplishing without those treatments you recommended that helped Pastor Suzette. Your prayers at church have helped too. You and your prayers and our congregation have given me hope, and I believe I will be healed completely very soon. God has got this. Through and nothing is beyond his mighty capability. I just pray that whatever his plan is for me and my life, he will be able to use it to help someone else. He is great and mighty God, and I was blessed to hear his call and belong to a church that feeds me with information I would not ever have considered. Amen. Amen. Okay, here's another one. About our prayer team. The prayer team prayed over the painful bone fragment sticking in my mouth from a prior dental surgery. This week, the bone fell out without the need of further surgery, and the pain is gone, and the area is healed. Wow. Come on, God's big. Okay, this one is life-changing through prayer. So I want you to see, some people have gone to a doctor and seen progress. Some people have been prayed for, instant healing. This one says this. This is an individual responding to prayer that they receive from one of our prayer team. I really do thank you for that prayer. I really do believe that your prayer really, really had some power behind it, because 3 weeks after that, I went to the doctor and I was announced cancer-free. But listen to this. Here's what the person said. I was ready to die, planning my own funeral and everything. Now I'm planning to buy some tools so I can get back to work and see the big difference. I do believe God is great. Thank you for your prayer. Oh my gosh. The person is planning. I know exactly what they're doing. They're, okay, who's going to speak? How long is it going to be? What music do I want? I'm going to die. So how are we going to go out gracefully and then be healed by the goodness of God? The goodness of God. There was a few weeks ago, I had a word from the Lord. It was a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, where the Lord said that he was healing things. And you may have saw that there was a time where I was talking about cancer. Then I paused for a lengthy time and then said that God was healing urinary tract infection. I don't know if you were here. It's just maybe a month ago. That morning, a family in our church had gathered their kids together and they were headed to church, and they had to divert to take their daughter to urgent care. When they got to urgent care, they found out that she had a urinary tract infection. Same day. They left urgent care, went home, and turned TV on to watch us and hear God's healing urinary tract infection. I'm like, now, here's the thing. So, well, then, wouldn't they be healed? And they may not need the antibiotic. Or would it be the word of the Lord saying the antibiotic isn't going to hurt the child, but the child's going to end up totally well? Yes. What I'm saying is, let's put our trust and faith in God and let him journey, make the journey successful. Don't come and ask, would you pray that I get healed because I really don't want to have surgery? You're on the wrong plane right there. And the reason why is you're trying to tell God how you want it done, and he needs to deliver. And if he doesn't deliver your way, you're going to have disappointment. And if he doesn't want a disappointed child that's going to have a little fit for a while, he should do what I want him to do. How about just pure submission? God, I'm facing this physical issue in my life, and I believe you are the healer. You're the one that makes us well. Would you bring that healing, and I'll follow your instructions. And let God decide. You know, why are some instantly healed? Why are some being assisted by outside care or other things? When we get to heaven, we'll find out. I think it's far more complex than what you guys know. I'm going to tell you my story. First of all, one more story. And that was, I had a word of knowledge where God was healing backs and had people stand. It was just a little over a month ago here in church. And we as a group prayed for each other. We prayed for the people. And there were a number of people standing, people online. I've had 5 to 7 people tell me that they got healed instantly that day, where God is moving in Church of Grace. Amen? Okay, let me tell you a story that it involves me. And it's another way of being healed, just something that would happen. Because you need to be looking to God for your healing constantly, looking to, that God is the provider, always the provider. I was having signs for the first time in my life of acid reflux. I was having issues in my esophagus. And what was happening, and it's happened for a couple of years, it got to the place, I take supplements and I take quite a few, and it got to the place where I could only swallow one pill at a time because it got stuck in my throat. And I was having problems, and I'd have to take one. It takes a long time when you're taking a bunch of supplements and you're going to swallow them one at a time. And then there'd be times I would get food stuck right here, stuck in my esophagus, where it was extremely painful. And there have been times where I had to leave the dinner table or the breakfast table, walk away and be alone and just tell myself, you can breathe, you're not dying, you're in pain, yes, but now start swallow, and push that food down. Extremely painful. There was one time I was home and I had waffles, and on top of waffles, I like to have peanut butter on top of it. Peanut butter and waffles. Better than peanut butter, waffles and chicken. And that's good too, but you know. And it got stuck and I was home alone, and I was actually, there, it's happened four times, I thought I'm gonna have to get Suzette to call 911. It was so severe. And there was nobody home. And I thought, maybe I'm having a peanut allergy or something. And that was closing it up. And I had to walk around, and I'm lifting up my hands, not praising, stretching, trying to get food to go down. So I go to the doctor. And the doctor does, they decide we're going to do an EGD, which is putting the camera down your throat. We're going to see what they want to do. And at the same time, since we're putting you out, we're going to do a colonoscopy. Thank you. Yeah. So same time, same day, same doctor. Well, the problem was in this process of that, they're looking down and they immediately, they couldn't find anything or severe or anything else like that. They said, you have acid reflux, and therefore I'm in the recovery of the EGD. I'm in the recovery, and the doctor says, I'm going to write you two prescriptions. You're going to take this, and you're going to have this anti-reflux, whatever it is, and you're going to just take this for the rest of your life. You'll be better and stuff like that. So I'm reading the side effects of this stuff, and I start taking one of them, and sorry, you know, full disclosure, it instantly caused constipation. And so I called the doctor. I said, stop taking that one. Take this other one. And so I'm reading the other one, and the other one is for depression. He said, I'm supposed to take an antidepressant? And I'm confused. I'm just totally confused. What's happening? And I happened to be at this one, I had an appointment with this one chiropractor who's homeopathic influence. And I'm telling him this story. And I was there for another reason. And I was telling, I had the thought, tell him. I'm thinking, what good's it going to do if I tell him? So I tell him what I'm going through. He goes, you sound like you may have a hiatal hernia. And I said, well, what is that? He goes, the hernia in your stomach, what will happen is it will push your esophagus up and it will cram it up in your throat and it will all be stuck and you can get food stuff. He goes, I can adjust that. Let me see. So I'm laying on the table and he's like, just problem all gone. Back to swallowing five supplements at a time. Back to eating without fear that I'm going to die. But I believe the hand of God was in it as I pursued recovery. And I believe the hand of God directed me to that doctor and share that story so there could be another move and still be well. What I'm saying is, I'm very in favor of medicine, doctors, the medical world. Thank God for them. Half the world would be dead if it wasn't for them. You know, I'm very, very supportive. I'm also supportive in taking care of your own health. I'm also supportive in you finding out what makes your body works and you work in your body. I'm supportive of the proper supplements. I've been taking supplements since I was 21 years old. I am not on medication. I don't have blood thinning medication. I don't have, I'm not on anti-reflex or, you know, medicine. I don't have heart medication. I don't take medicine. Not because I'm against it. It's because right now, I'm almost 70. I don't need it. I like that better. Instead of living in a life of miracles, why don't we live in a supernatural life that produces healing on a regular basis? Why don't we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Why don't we get directed by him and just submit and be a person that follows him in seeking his face, his life, his presence. I find it interesting, in the same year that I started taking supplements, I started tithing. And I've tithed ever since. I'm just saying, God is a healer. God is a miracle worker. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants you to be well. And he'll go any means to get you well. From doctors to surgery to instant healing to a process of time for you to be well. God will heal you. Do you believe it?